Still in the first days of the pontificate, I felt the duty and a deep longing to approach Genazzano, the shrine of Our Lady of Good Counsel, who throughout my life has accompanied me with her maternal presence, with her wisdom, and the example of her love for her son, who is always the center of my faith, way, truth, and life. Thank you, Mother, for your help. Accompany me in this new mission. These words were left by our Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, at the shrine of Our Lady of Good Counsel in Genazzano yesterday, just outside of the eternal city of Rome. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What Catholic heart would not be moved at the sight of the Holy Father so recently elected, entrusting the greatest and most fearsome pastoral charge to the glorious and ever-Virgin Mary, Mother of God and our Mother? How fitting, too, that divine providence should present to us the image of our universal pastor kneeling in supplication before our Heavenly Mother, just as we commemorate today in so many countries around the world, Mother's Day. Today, I would like to speak to you about the second greatest commandment of the new law given to us by our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, and how it relates to the office of the Supreme Pastor, our love and veneration for the Pope, and also how it relates to our neighbor in general, but most especially to our love of our mothers. In the Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, we read our Savior announce the two greatest commandments of the new law. Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and with thy whole soul and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments dependeth the whole law and the prophets." Crucially, our blessed Savior says that the second, namely the love of our neighbor, is like unto the first commandment, our love of God, a point emphasized by the providential occurrence this year of Mother's Day on this third Sunday after Easter with its Holy Gospel. Our blessed Savior warns us in today's Gospel of his impending departure. It is a departure surely not of his heavenly grace, but of the consolation of his visible presence. He warns us of the sorrow we will know in this world, a sorrow he compares fittingly on this day to a woman in pains to give birth. It is a sorrow that breaks, however, upon the unshakable joy of the presence of the one we love, the presence of our Lord, just like the arrival of a newborn child. "I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and no one shall take your joy from you," our blessed Savior says to conclude today's Holy Gospel. This unshakable joy belongs first to the apostles, to the holy women, first among them our Blessed Mother, privileged witnesses of the resurrection, and they who received the gift of the outpouring of the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Ghost, at Pentecost. Yet it belongs also to us, as Blessed Cardinal Schuster reminds us, the unbelieving world of darkness that encompasses us on all sides. It has not seen Jesus again since his death, resurrection, and ascension. But we faithful few, we see him every day by faith in the Holy Eucharist, and therein is hidden a joy which the world cannot know, a joy the world cannot take. However, the virtue of Jesus Christ and his power remain present to us also, emanating from the Holy Eucharist throughout the mystical body, and we may know that sacred presence and its attendant joy in our neighbor. Particularly on this Sunday, in the person of the Holy Father and in our earthly mothers. The second commandment is like unto the first. How can this be? How can our love of our neighbor be like our love of God himself? St. John Chrysostom says that the second commandment is like unto the first because man is made in the image of God. Therefore, in loving the image, we love the very God of whom the image is. Moreover, we need not, indeed, we should not fear that the object of our love may not be worthy. St. Augustine says that we either love our neighbor because he is just, or we love him in order to make him just. Freely must we love, therefore, even as we have been loved freely. For God, as St. John reminds us, has loved us first. Turning to the Holy Father specifically, it is clear that the Roman Pontiff bears by his office, by his mission and charge, the image of our sweet Savior in a most sublime way. St. Catherine of Siena addressed Pope Gregory XI more than once as the sweet Christ on earth. She did not blush to call him such, and we should not be ashamed to offer freely our love and devotion to the Holy Father, because it is a love we pay to Christ first. The second commandment, indeed, is like unto the first. Ours is not a religion of ideas, but a religion of the holiest communion and love. Truth is not first an idea, but a person, Jesus Christ, who was born into this world and suffered for us. By his ineffable providence, that loving Savior has ordained that the visible sign of our union with him would likewise not be abstract, would not be merely a document, a dead letter, but a person, a visible sign of unity. It would be Peter and his successors. Tempestuous, brash, proud Peter, but also loving, sincere, and ultimately faithful unto his own death on the cross, Peter. The love we show to Peter, to his successor today, is a visible sign of our union with our Lord, and it is truly a source of joy for our hearts, a joy the world cannot take, a joy to know that we belong to Jesus Christ by our loving union with his vicar on earth, our Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV. Mothers, too, bear, by the bearing of a child, a unique image of the one true God. Jesus once rebuked the Pharisees and Sadducees, who were sinfully proud to be physically descendants of Abraham, saying to them that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. The Savior's rebuke of the haughty Pharisees matters for us here because it shows us that God chooses freely how we receive life from his hands. Indeed, he chooses our mothers freely. Just as Jesus could have freely chosen to enter this world as a man without being born of the Blessed Virgin Mary, he too could have given us the gift of life without the help of our parents. Yet just as he entrusted a sublime mission to our Immaculate Queen, the mission to furnish the sacred body of Jesus Christ that would save us, our Lord has likewise ordained from all eternity to grant to us the gift of life through a woman, from whose flesh we were formed and nourished, by whose love we were protected and fostered. If the second commandment is like unto the first, how rich indeed and varied are the motives by which we might love God in the veneration and love of our mothers, from whom we receive the gift of life, and also by whose education we are confirmed in the gift of divine life. And you mothers, how truly great a dignity entrusted to you, how great a responsibility rests upon your motherly hearts. When we, priests of Jesus Christ, preach words of life from this pulpit, words of love and responsibility, of duty and honor, of chastity and courage, who are the first examples that a child might look to as the image of these virtues, as the very image of the love of the triune God? Whose vocation is it to foster love in the heart of another person, to teach generosity and gentleness and steadfast devotion, Who will give credence to our Savior's lesson in today's Holy Gospel, that the joy of holy living surpasses all the pains of temptation and of trial, if not she, who as much in childbearing as in homemaking may unite herself in a unique way with the sufferings of our Savior and His Immaculate Mother? Who indeed, if not you, dear mothers? The Lord said through the prophet Isaiah, "Give praise, O ye heavens, and rejoice. O earth, ye mountains, give praise with jubilation, because the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy on his poor ones." And Zion said, poor, unbelieving, distrustful Zion, like we ourselves, Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, the Lord hath forgotten me." Our blessed Savior responds, "Can a woman forget her infant, so as not to have pity on the son of her womb? And if she should forget, yet will not I forget thee." When we pray for holy priests, be they lowly parochial vicars or the very vicar of Christ on earth himself, who will form their heart of a good shepherd, the merciful heart like that of a mother of which Isaiah speaks? Who will form the heart of a priest, if not you, dear mothers? Pray for the Holy Father, pray for holy bishops and priests, but pray that the first seminary of the priestly heart might always be holy too, that is to say, pray indeed for holy mothers. May Our Lady of Good Counsel, humbly invoked by Pope Leo yesterday at the dawn of his pontificate, grant to His Holiness long life, peace, and many glorious years in our Lord's service. And may she intercede also for our mothers, living images of the love of God. May Blessed Mary be their solace in every sorrow, and obtain for them unending joy at the dawn of the eternal day. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.